Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this October 31st, 2023. Happy Halloween, everybody, from your host, James, here. At 3:30 today, we are going to welcome in our friend Craig Brorn, superintendent with Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools. Right now, sitting in studio with us, our great friend, Rock Larson, Wood County Veteran Service Officer with Wood County Veteran Services. Rock, good to see you. How you been?
Been fine. And yourself?
Doing good. Doing good. Thanks for asking. Appreciate you. Rock, I want to talk about Veterans Day. I want to talk a little bit about veterans and just some facts around that, if you wouldn't mind, today.
Yeah. Well, next week is Veterans Day, which is the, usually celebrated the 11th month, 11th day. Mm-hmm. So it will be on a Saturday this year, so that should be interesting. The federal holiday is on the Friday, but I work for the county, so I'll be at my desk answering any questions and dealing with people. But yeah. So Veterans Day started in World War One with the signing of the armistice for World War One, and that the whole history behind that, and then. But veterans are pretty much all people who served in the military, mm-hmm. whether they were like National Guard and reservists who were never called to active duty other than their training, up to those that served in combat and lost their lives, made the ultimate sacrifice. They have a special day, Memorial Day, that mm-hmm. honors those that died due to in service. Due to a service-connected disability and whatever, but this November we celebrate all veterans, from all eras. Mm-hmm. Still a few World War II veterans alive and with us, and they have wonderful experiences.
I was watching a documentary the other day on landmarks or monuments in our country and the history of them and everything, because I'm a history nerd and I just love these kind of things. And it actually got me thinking about both my grandparents, my grandfathers, who were both Marines and served in Korea and World War II. And it got me thinking about the Korean War. And how it took us so long to have a Korean War monument that was one of those just historians calling it a forgotten war almost, and I don't feel comfortable saying that, but just using the terminology that they used, I was watching this and I'm watching it just for the history and the monuments and such, and I come away from it. Just think. All I can do is think about both my grandpas and my papa lied about his age so that he could fight. He was 17. He lied about his age so he could. That's how much it mattered to him. When I think about our veterans, when I think about my grandparents and stuff, I know in talking with you, Rock, in talking with both of them, that there's a lot more we can do for our veterans. When it comes to yes, we're going to have parades on Veterans Day. We're going to have some celebration. We will see a lot of people, giving thanks. You're going to see a lot of American flags. All of that is great. I support all of that. But what can we truly do for our veterans? What is one of the greatest ways that we as citizens can help our veterans? One of the first things that comes to my mind is being intelligent with your vote. And knowing who, the people that you are voting into office, how do they feel about veterans subjects? Where do they stand on this? I would think that is one little thing, but that's just me and one thought that comes to my mind. I ask you, Rock, what is something, or it doesn't have to be one thing, but what are things that we can do as citizens outside of being a part of the parades and all these things that we can do for our veterans?
Well, boy, and veterans run such a gambit.
And the needs for them, I imagine, do too. And, so it's a loaded question.
And what they need and what they understand and what they're willing to come and ask for are all different things.
Yes.
We've got wonderful programs that I and my staff work with the veterans and try to deliver them every day, but some come in. And say, well, other veterans are worse off than me and need it. And very few programs are funded in a way that when the funding's gone, somebody else isn't going to get it.
Right.
That's one thing. And in fact, I like to make the when people come in and I say, well, are you enrolled in VA healthcare? We've got this wonderful clinic here in town. They say, well, no, other veterans need it more than me. And I said, well, you know, the thing is, and we've talked about this before, the thing is, like anything government, it's all about the numbers. If we don't have the numbers of veterans enrolled here in central Wisconsin, those resources are going to go to where the numbers are, whether they're in Florida or Phoenix, Arizona, and we've all seen, you know, their VA hospital system and whatever in the news and resources. And so we need the numbers to keep the resources here that we're entitled to. If not, it'll be farther away. They've got great programs now where they, if they can't provide it here, they're going to contract it out. I mean, whether the veteran goes to Aspirus or Marshfield Clinic or any other GI associates and all, you know, the Tomah VA will VA hospital will contract out to these, which is great. But the veterans need to know that in most cases we can find a way to get a veteran enrolled into VA healthcare. And but also when you see a veteran struggling, whether it's homelessness or mental health or I used to like to tell people coming off of deployments that, you know, everyone's going to think that you've got to think that you're okay. That's the way your mind works. But if your friends, your family, your employer, employees are saying, you know, you're changed or you're not, or maybe they're right.
Yeah.
Maybe they're wrong. Hopefully they are. But you owe it to yourself and you owe it to them and your family and whatever for that veteran to say, well, maybe there's something here and I should talk to somebody. And we've got different ways. We got the vet center, which does readjustment counseling and just kind of says, well, let's take a look and see. Is there something maybe going on? And it's totally confidential unless the veteran releases it. I mean, we can't get anything and even the hospital can't get anything and your employer can't get anything. Or your guard and reserve unit can't get anything. So those are great resources. Yeah.
It seems like one of the one thing that we can do, especially if you know a veteran, is just talking to them. Just reach out, just having a conversation. And you can gauge so much from that and how they're doing possibly mental health-wise and everything. I think it's an important note that you bring up that most of our veterans are not looking for help or not asking for it. So it's a good idea to, you know, have some insight, read between the lines. Could they use some help? Maybe encouraging them to seek help is not a bad idea. Or at the very least, being aware that they're in this situation. And at the very least, maybe they're doing fine and things are okay. So you just had a conversation with a vet. I mean, there's no downside. Right. There's no side effect to this or anything like that. There's nothing but positives to something like that. I think that those are ways of doing this as well, of celebrating this important day in our country.
Definitely. Especially those, you know, veterans, you know, the Vietnam era, Korean, World War II. They're often getting more and more isolated as their families, you know, unit gets more separated. Maybe their spouse passed away. Just talking, but respect, because sometimes they're not going to want to talk about, you know, you were in Vietnam. Well, don't push, you know, what would you do in Vietnam? Did you kill anybody? Did you get shot at? Well, those, if they want to volunteer that, they will.
Yeah, that's different.
Just be a receptive audience. They got some great stories, whether it's out running the bars on R&R to something that may have been more horrendous, and what they're willing to share. You just need to respect that. But they're great people that gave, whether they were drafted, volunteered, whatever. And just because someone didn't go and serve in combat doesn't mean that they're service, one, isn't valued. They might have just had decent karma and got to go to Germany and wait for the communist regime to decide to do maybe what they're doing in Ukraine today. which never happened, you know, coming over the what they call the Volga Gap in Europe.
Yeah.
So beer and schnitzel was a lot better than sea rations and jungle rot.
Mm-hmm.
It was all on what, you know, the veteran didn't make that choice. Mm-hmm. The military service made the choice. Where do we need you?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
when it comes to that documentary I was watching, the other thing that really hit me watching it is they're showing World War II monument and talking about that, World War I. They're talking about these different monuments and how – so there's like maybe 6-7 people by it. And then they show the Vietnam Memorial, and there's thousands of people there. And it speaks to not the popularity of these monuments, but the people that are still with us that are able to go to these monuments. And I had to look it up, and because it got me thinking about my own family, and I've lost one of my grandpas. My other one is still there, hanging on, hopefully a lot longer. And they're both, as I mentioned, World War II vets. So I'm looking into this. And every day, memories of World War II are disappearing from living history. The men and women who fought and won the great conflict are now in their 90s or older. And according to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs statistics, 1,119 of the 16.1 million Americans who served in World War II are alive of 2023. And those numbers are even dwindling more and more as I speak. So when it comes to the idea of we're not losing this history. I mean, we've got the data. We have the information and everything. But there's a difference of I'm going to pull up a book and read about World War II and talking to somebody or hearing from somebody from World War II. And it's such a different world. It's two different things there. Both are important, but both are very different things. We're losing so many of our veterans. I'm curious. When it comes to their services, when it comes to the services specific for World War II veterans or these things, what happens with that? Do those services, do those things just kind of go by the wayside? Does the funding go to different places? Is there a specificness to this, or is it just kind of, you know, services are services?
Well, then I just gave a presentation to the Wisconsin Counties Association on this. The number of veterans are getting smaller, but the amount of money being spent by the federal VA for our services and benefits here in Wisconsin has gone up every year.
Interesting.
In the past 20 years, its averaged increase was 17% each year.
Hmm.
There is here in Wood County $33 million of federal money last year went into veterans' bank accounts here in Wood County for disability or pension. Pension is a needs-based program for a wartime veteran. If their income is, I just had a Korean War veteran, and he's just doing a little bit better than the pension level, but if it would be, you know, they could have brought him up, you know, when you're living on, there's a married couple in there. Looking here.
Rock's looking through notes here.
Looking at the notebook. I mean, they make about a little over $2,000 a month.
Okay.
But if they only made like $1,600 a month, the VA would be able to give them another $150 a month.
Mm.
And that changes if the veteran's health is more precarious, whether they're homebound or require aid and attendance, and it goes up. So that's income, less out-of-pocket medical expenses. So that's a pension program. So if someone's low income or they're the widow of a veteran and low income with high medical expenses, VA pension might be something. VA compensation is for, I broke my ankle in service. It's locked up now. Mm-hmm. I get a disability compensation for my bad ankle. Go ahead.
It seems like I hear something like that, Rock, and that's one of the first, like, other than when you and I get together and talk, it's some of the first good news I've heard regarding this subject, you know? From your perspective, have we gotten better about this as far as the government, as far as taking care of our veterans? I mean, there's a lot of work to be done, I'm sure, but have you seen improvement in the last 5, 10, 15 years regarding this subject?
It's a roller coaster because some things are improving, some things are getting harder. Like right now, we talked earlier about the PACT Act in a previous episode.
Yeah.
which is the Toxic Exposure Act. So, I mean, it is just flooding the VA compensation, and my desk and my staff's desk were
overloaded, I imagine.
Overloaded, we're behind. Yeah. We still want to have everybody come in. One of my assistants said, I think we should go to appointments only. I said, no, because if someone's in the courthouse to pay their property tax, to go to court, to do whatever, and they say, oh, the veterans office, I've been meaning to stop in, I want to see them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've had people, I had a guy come in for a simple veterans identifier on his driver's license.
Mm.
And I talked to him about the PACT Act, that he actually was in Guam, and he does have two or three cancers and diabetes and all these Agent Orange things. And, you know, anything that gets him in, we're going to look at everything and try to figure out how we can best serve that. I did mention the $33 million. That was part of $68 million overall coming into Wood County, and that's our VA clinic and all the health care that they're providing through there. Could be education benefits or other, and that's just on the federal side. So it's real money. It's but is it improving? I think what's improving is myself and my peers, we have better tools to make these claims and to follow through. We now have access to the VA claims system, so we can go in and see the file, where it used to be we'd fire and forget. We'd send off a claim, and maybe in a year and a half something would come back, and we hoped it was positive, and it was awarded. Now we can see it, and we can point out where they missed something or what the mistakes are or whatever. But the federal VA, they're trying constantly. I mean, I was on the news on TV a while ago.
You did a nice job.
Talking about a new automated program where they're reviewing things and kind of loading and trying to get things done faster. But in the meantime, they didn't think it all the way through. There's some minor glitches and whatever, and they're working on that. In fact, I've got a call actually someone else saw that, one of our legislators, and their staff will be talking to me this afternoon. But also as a result of that, I've got some guy out of Washington, D.C. that works for the VA on automation and the veteran service organizations, and he wants to talk to me about how they can improve that.
Hmm.
Well, I was one of the original 150 in the nation that got access to the first VA data system as a pilot test. And that's due to our national association and stuff. The sitting president at the time was from Wisconsin, so so that's kind of how I got the luck of the draw. So I've been with this for probably 10, 12 years that we've had access. The systems are growing. It's so big. I mean, it's so big. It's so complicated. By complicated, I mean, because they're spending our money. They're spending our tax dollar.
Yeah.
And they have to do that appropriately, and they have to put the checks and balances and make sure someone's not creating fraud, but without throwing the baby out with the bathwater too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big job the federal VA has, both the benefit side, which is compensation and education and things like that, and the healthcare side.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. And our staff here in Wood County, and we're blessed. Next time you talk to Lance, I know he comes on.
Yeah.
Say Rock thanks him for the support the county's given our office and our veterans. And
well,
I can't say enough. 20 years I've been working here, and they've been very supportive. They've never really said no to anything. But
that's
I'm
really encouraging
too,
to hear.
So, I mean, I'm not asking for pie in the sky.
Right. But that is encouraging to hear.
Yeah, they've been very supportive here at the county, and each county staffs their office differently. And has different expectations of us. So, I mean, what you get here in Wood County, I hope is as good or better than anywhere else. And it certainly is in some areas. So.
We're speaking with Rock Larson, Wood County Veteran Services Officer. Rock, got about 5-6 minutes left of show. Are there any headlines? Are there any tidbits that we have on the latest on services for our veterans? Is there any recent information that we could get out there for people, or anything that comes to mind as far as it's new information to you? I know these things are ever changing, so
it's always changing, and we've got a lot of good work with. And she was in yesterday. Our Veterans Outreach and Recovery Program is a state program, and it can help. It's basically for veterans who are having problems, whether it's mental health or homelessness, substance abuse. And what's nice about that is that program does not have to, you know, the veteran does not have to meet the federal VA requirements. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can help people who were in the reserve component and never mobilized, people who may have gotten bad paper, meaning other than honorable discharge. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're really a great resource. They're intensive case managers, which takes that load off of me trying to fix their issues, where I can pass them over to Katie. Katie can, they've got clinicians. Mm-hmm. They can work all sorts of wonderful things. And then that frees me up for the day-to-day work of reading somebody's 500 pages of medical records and looking for that evidence to highlight for the VA so they can do their job quicker mm-hmm. and faster. And so VORP is a great program here in the state.
Okay.
So that's fairly new. They in the last year, the governor upped their staffing, but it wasn't included in the budget. Well, it was included in the budget he proposed. It was not included in the budget adopted by the legislature. Mm. So those positions at the end of 2024, because it was using American Recovery Act mm-hmm, funds, mm-hmm. will go away unless something changes. So we talked to our legislators about, hey, you know, good. If you can think about funding this somehow.
Yeah.
Because the biennium budget goes for another year after that, so mm-hmm. they will have to cut those staff. And then we will be waiting longer for them to show up because they'll come up, they'll cover larger regions.
They're good programs, they're good things to learn about, especially because I'm sure that I'm not alone in seeing these stats. This is certainly the suicide rate numbers have gone up for all adults, but specifically the average number of veteran suicides per day rose from 16.4 in 2001 to 16.8 in 2022. And these numbers have only gone up. So the more things that we have, services we have available for our veterans when it comes to mental health, and these are I mean, that's money well spent. That's important. That's good to hear that there are programs, there are services that are becoming more and more available.
Well, in that, definitely 988, mm-hmm. and I think there's a, you know, I think you press 1 to get to a strictly a veteran lane.
Yeah.
In addition, you know, our crisis here in the county, they just called me yesterday on a veteran. We work with them. There are resources out there for mm-hmm. everybody, but if we can use VA resources for the veteran, that will then free up those limited mental health resources for the rest of our people in the community too. So that's one of the things working with through as a veteran, as opposed to, you know, you're still a citizen, you're entitled to that other stuff, but if we can use VA resources, it will free up other local resources for.
It's a really good point, Rob.
For someone else in the community.
Keep in mind, Veterans Day is November 11th, coming up right around the corner. Plenty of ways to celebrate and to honor our veterans. Rock, always appreciate the time from you. Always love talking to you, sir. And thank you very much for everything you do for our community, for our veterans, for our state, really. Rock, if people have follow-up questions and want to, you know, ask you anything.
I was just going to say, let's give us a call, 715-421-8420. Please leave a message. Don't call back in 3 minutes because, you know, if we didn't answer the first time, it's probably because we're with somebody or like in-depth thought trying to fight VA law to help a veteran. And we will get back to you. It may take a couple days, but we will get back to you. Please call us.
VA.gov is the website. If you'd like to also go to a website and look up some information as well, VA.gov. Again, thank you, Rock. Say hi to everybody, the whole team over there for us, okay?
Will do.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more Midday Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.